The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And I guess we got to talk about Jeffrey Epstein's mysterious suicide that occurred last week. I mean, I don't like to get into, like, conspiracy theories and stuff on this show, you know, especially since on August 1st, the FBI made it clear to Yahoo News that any fringe conspiracy theorists would be considered domestic terrorists. And I am harmless as can be. So I must disassociate myself from any of that stuff. Please realize that I am not interested in any of those things at all. All I want to do is enjoy some speculation. So let's speculate as to what may have happened to Jeffrey Epstein. Well, the coroner's come out and said that nothing has happened. So the coroner's office says that Jeffrey Epstein died because he tied some sheets around his neck and he knelt quickly. And by kneeling quickly, he broke a bone in his throat somewhere, and that's what killed him. So I looked at CNN's report on this, and below it was a response from an MD. Now, you don't know who is who on the internet, so this may not be credible. But if there's anyone out there who understands medical terminology, maybe you could make this determination yourself. So this bone is called the hyoid neck bone, H-Y-O-I-D, the hyoid neck bone. Now, a lot of these sources are saying that it's very common for that bone to be broken in cases of strangulation, not self-hanging. And the Twitter comment said that there's only been 31 cases of it, and it's happened mostly in older people, where the bone has been broken by hanging themselves. And he said pretty matter-of-factly, pretty straightforwardly, that Jeffrey Epstein is not the 32nd case of that. Now, again, I don't know who that dude was. Other news sources have been saying that it is more common in strangulation, and it is less common when you, off yourself. But who can say? I know that I don't ever want to question the official story. So, you know, that's not for me to do, of course. Now, on any news source, CNN, CBS News, it doesn't matter. If you go on Twitter and you go on YouTube, nobody, and I mean virtually nobody, is buying that it is a suicide. And the reason I say virtually, I haven't seen any that I can remember. So I'm just kind of covering my bases there. But I think I've seen enough that I could say nobody that I've seen believes that it's a suicide. So that's kind of frightening, isn't it? To think that, you know, the things that you see on television can actually happen in real life. And this is speculation. This isn't conspiracy, you know. As somebody might say, well, The simplest solution is often the correct one, right? And, you know, I can agree with that, probably. I don't think it's strange that somebody who is, you know, at risk for suicide is supposed to have a cellmate with them. and his cellmate was removed the day before. I don't think it's strange that the other inmates surrounding his cell said that they heard screams coming from his cell. I don't think it's strange that we don't have any camera footage of this happening, even though there are cameras all around. And the camera footage that was found shows that the guards that were there falsified the logs. Now, this is from both AP News and NBC. And AP reports that the guards' logs were falsified and that the guards... Now, I don't know if AP News reported this, but I've seen this in multiple places, that the guards were asleep and left alone. William Barr, the attorney general, came out and he said there are serious irregularities in how prison officials handled Epstein's supervision. And, you know, I'm not a physics expert. Maybe if somebody's desperate, although I don't know why he would be desperate, because it looks like his lawyers were saying that he would probably get his bail repealed and go under house arrest. But, you know, maybe he was inconsolable, right? And Epstein just wanted to off himself real bad. He did it by using the bed sheets, which are supposed to be made out of toilet paper, but they took off, I mean, this very light paper, but they took them off suicide watch the day before. So I guess maybe he had regular bed sheets. Now, I don't know why they would take him off a suicide watch, because we were told that he attempted suicide not that long ago. Remember, this is the second go-around here. And the way he killed himself, like I mentioned earlier, was by kneeling hard. You know, he really just gave it the old Colin Kaepernick treatment and broke his hyoid bone there. There was FBI people going through his private island. So they have assigned an FBI task force to go through his stuff on his private island mansion, right? They're calling it a compound, which I guess kind of was. So there's the latest on the Epstein case. And I would like to add that there's nothing fishy about any of that stuff at all. I'm merely pointing out things that are readily available in public sources. That's all. Now, according to Fox News, one of the guards in Epstein's prison cell was not actually a guard. They were an employee filling in. And furthermore, the cell that Epstein, when he was found dead, they were supposed to check every half hour on him. It hadn't been checked for hours. So they don't even know how long he had been dead for. You know, it was a conspiracy theory that Epstein had a private island where he did all these things with, and the rich and powerful would go to and sleep with underage girls and stuff like that, right? Well, you know, they found in his compound that he had the rooms wired with video. So we'll see if any of that video shows up. I'm not going to hold my breath. Speaking of showing up, according to the New York Post, look who showed up at a In-N-Out Burger. Jeffrey Epstein's gal pal. This lady, her name is Ghislaine Maxwell. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but Ms. Maxwell has been named in the suit against Epstein. That kind of started all of this, I guess you could say, you know, with the documents came out, and then boom, he's dead the next day. She is found in, where is this at? The Post found the socialite hiding in plain sight at the least likely place imaginable, a fast food joint in Los Angeles. Maxwell, 57, the alleged madam to the multimillionaire pedophile, was scarfing down a burger, fries, and shake al fresco at an In-N-Out Burger Monday while reading Get the book that she's reading. She was reading The Book of Honor, The Secret Lives and Deaths of CIA Operatives, a nonfiction bestseller by journalist Ted Gupp. Is she trying to tell people that Epstein was a CIA operative? Why is she reading that book in particular? I mean, not that would have anything to do with anything. I'm speculating. I don't believe that, though, you know. Sitting alone with a pet pooch, she was surprised to have been found and told an onlooker, "Well, I guess this is the last time I'll be eating here." Maxwell accused in court papers of providing sex slaves for Epstein and engaging in threesomes with a financier and underage girls has not been photographed in public since 2016. The daughter of the late disgraced publishing tycoon Robert Maxwell has not been charged with any crimes, but could find herself in the Fed's crosshairs following Epstein's apparent jailhouse suicide last Saturday. Attorney General William Barr declared on Monday any co-conspirators should not rest easy. Again, you know, all we can do is wait. All right, well, let's get out of that mire and get into some more things that maybe are a bit more fun to speculate about, that don't involve such horrific elements, unless, of course, you find Hillary Clinton horrifying. And it's not that far-fetched that some of you may. Hillary Clinton's emails, it has been discovered, were funneled into a mysterious Gmail account. This was reported to Peter Strzok. Oh, and also it looks like the Chinese may have hacked her emails along with other anonymous sources. Now, this is according to the Epoch Times, who say that they got their information from a Senate report. And it says that all except for four of Hillary's over 30,000 emails got sent to a company got sent to a Gmail address. And the Gmail address that it got sent to, I'm going to give it to you in just a second here, is... I mean, I'm sure that address isn't still active, but this isn't according to me. This is according to the Epoch Times. The virtually every email that was sent to and from the Clinton email server was forwarded to, quote, CarterHeavyIndustries@gmail.com, unquote. And that's the same name of a Chinese company, apparently. Which is kind of strange to me, because I would think a Chinese company would have a more Chinese-sounding name. I don't speak Chinese, but I would think it would sound something like Jing Zhong Jing Wong Wong, right? Not Carter Heavy Industries. But I don't know. I mean, we had a company named Atari, right? So maybe it's just a thing to name things in English, or maybe that's the translated version. But no, this is a Gmail address. All right, but they don't seem to know whether or not the Gmail address is actually directly related to that company. But it looks like it might be. Now, I do remember switching topics, but staying, I guess, on the overall theme of not conspiracy. I do remember watching some congressional hearings a while back and seeing a Democrat go up there and say that he's tired of hearing the conspiracy theories from the Republicans that social media outlets are trying to censor conservative voices. Now, and I'm sure he's right. You know, that's just a conspiracy theory, right? I mean, it's just a coincidence, I think, that many of the conservative people that I follow have been banned, while virtually none of the progressive, or I guess I should say the liberal people that I follow, have not been banned. So I think that's just a coincidence. I mean, if they tell me, I believe what I am told. So if the government and the social media companies, if they say, hey, you know what, it's just a coincidence, then I think it's just a coincidence. Occam's razor, as they say, you know. They've been saying that the simplest solution is the correct one. And the simplest solution is that it's just a coincidence. So I think it's just a coincidence that, you know, the right-wing people I see getting constantly banned and censored and kicked off the platforms, and the liberal people are, that doesn't happen to them. I think that's just a coincidence. Don't you think so? And when you see it over and over and over again, that just screams coincidence. Because if it only happened once, that's not a coincidence. That's a fluke. But when it happens a bunch of times in a row with a bunch of people, that's a coincidence. Yeah? Well, Project Veritas has on... Well, first they had a Google... Oh, what was she? They had somebody on there revealing some of the manipulations that they do. And YouTube... who is owned by Google, pulled that video down. So Project Veritas is a sort of a muckraker reporting outfit. Project Veritas is what 60 Minutes used to be. You know, they put on the equipment, they go in, they talk to people, and they get out of them information that typically you would never hear. I mean, they got Van Jones saying that this whole Trump-Russia collusion thing was a big nothing burger. And many other, you know, people to say that otherwise never would have said that out loud. They proved that many of these search results are manipulated and that algorithms are put in place to stifle conservative voices. And now they've got their greatest proof so far. So first they had a lady on who was, I can't remember what she was, maybe a senior engineer or something. Don't quote me on that. But YouTube pulled the video down, and YouTube is owned by Google, saying that they didn't keep her anonymous, and so that's why they pulled the video down. Well, they re-uploaded it with her blanked out and masked so you couldn't tell who it was. And I don't know if that's still up there, if that got pulled down too. But last I looked, it was still up there. Well, now they've come out with a new video. And another person who works for Google has come out. And not only is this person dishing the dirt, but actually has the blacklists that Google uses and the things to search the algorithms, to make your search go differently than it would have gone had Google not interfered. So he has the papers showing the actual websites that are on this blacklist. And man, it's almost all, it's got to be like 90-95%. Conservative websites. And the only few liberal ones that get tampered with are the far left progressive sites, because, you know, Google doesn't really want you giving support to people like Jill Stein and probably Bernie Sanders, right? And people like that. So they want more mainstream candidates to be selected. He also has talked about their internal conversations, basically claiming that they're going to manipulate the results so that Trump can't win in 2020. So that's kind of pretty scary stuff there. And this is on video, and you can download the documents and you can see it for yourself. And I mentioned last week that one of the great things about the internet is that you can get this information so quickly, unless it's banned, but you can get information so quickly now, but it's also a detriment because the lie goes so even faster now, too. And I think the expression was, the lie travels around the world before the truth gets out of bed. And that has got to be true by a multiple factor for nowadays. I mean, I just can't believe the number of people who are saying dumb things about Trump and Russia, and that Trump isn't going to give up his power, and he's going to try to be a lifetime president forever. It's ridiculous. And outright calling him a racist, and saying that we need to... I mean, the leftists are getting really kind of bad now. So, I mean, they're starting to call for violence. And this is no good. And it's funny because if you look at most of the conservative stuff, the conservative people are calling for unity and peace. So maybe you could have made an argument when Trump first started that he was the one calling causing the divisiveness. Although I don't think so. Because I remember him welcoming in his presidency, saying that he'll be a president of all people. And he mentioned Muslims, and he mentioned LGBTQ, whatever else. I don't know all the initials, because it used to be LGBT, I think. And then they, like, added a few more there. So, whatever it is, he said he's going to be a president for all people. And I think it's kind of really terrible how we're divided in the country. And I put some of that on Trump, because the man is not, he does not tone down his speech for anybody, right? He's very funny, though. But the unity, to me, it seems like, is on the conservative side. Whereas on the liberal side, they're calling for disunity. I mean, Trump can't say anything. Remember when I reported last week, I think, that Trump had come out after the shootings in Ohio and Virginia, and he called for unity, and several papers that reported that got blasted by Democrats just for reporting the truth. And they changed their headlines. So if one side calls for unity and the other side refuses unity, I mean, you know, who's the bad actor here? And, you know, the one in Ohio, he was a big Elizabeth Warren supporter. I'm not saying that that's why he did the shooting, but he was a big lib. And so was the other one. And they're blaming it on Trump because this other guy doesn't like immigrants, it seems like. But everything else is completely leftist, huge environmentalist. And he even wrote in his manifesto that they were going to try to blame this on Trump. And it just shows how stupid the media is. And the media just did it anyway, even though he called it. He wrote it and said that was going to happen. It's amazing to me how slanted the media is. And I blame them for causing these problems. And they got on Trump for calling it, I think he said, Toledo, Ohio, instead of Dayton. And then Biden makes the same mistake and nobody says anything about it. In fact, I think Biden made two mistakes. I think Biden called out both places incorrectly and nobody cares. You know, it just shows how slanted the media is. It's maddening. But, I mean, it's kind of funny, too. And I'm looking forward myself to this next upcoming year, hoping that Trump comes out on top. Or Tulsi. Oh, man, Tulsi on top. I like that idea. But let's see if Trump's able to pull it off again. I sure hope he is. You got to be careful not to be overconfident, though. Because, you know, and oh my goodness. And you see the news media trying to make the stock market tank, right? They keep saying it's a recession, it's a recession, it's a recession over and over and over again. So they're trying to get rid of this guy. Bill Maher said that he would rather have a recession and get Trump out because that would be better for the country. So Bill Maher has admitted that.